Morning. I'm jet lagged. I've come from England. And not really, I do sympathise with you. You know, it's lovely to be here. I came last time and it was held in a building that I remember was next door to a pub. And that was when I came last. And it's wonderful to come into this beautiful, new, spacious venue. It's lovely here. And I was surprised to be asked the first time to come and speak. I am even more surprised to be asked twice. So thank you. It's lovely to be here. Now, I can ask you a question. Do you ever get stages in your life when you start to review how you're doing spiritually as well as how you're doing in everyday life? It's like a spiritual audit. It's something about our inner life. Do you ever do that? If you're anything like me, I have days when I come home at the end of a busy day and I think to myself, how on earth did I get through that day? And I think to myself, oh, I didn't have as much wisdom as I should have needed in situations. I didn't have wisdom to make good choices, you know, and sometimes I've had so many problems and things going on in my head, you know, that I've lost something of my peace and my joy. And also, you know, I haven't seen eye to eye with somebody. Confrontation, I hate it. And it leaves you, you know, with this sort of unpleasant feeling and tightness inside. And I realise that in that day, I have not fulfilled all that God intended me to fulfill. Do you ever get days like that? I'm going to be really honest with you this morning. I get days like that. But then, you know, the words of Jesus interrupt my thoughts. And he said in John 10, that beautiful passage, that lovely imagery of him being the good shepherd. He says this. He says, I have come that you might have life in all its fullness. I want to be with you in those days when you haven't felt as if you've had full life. Been a miserable sort of day. I have come that you might have full life, he said. How am I going to experience that? Well, I'm going to learn from Jesus, aren't I? Every time. And we read in Luke 4:14, after he had been in the wilderness under tremendous pressure and temptation, it says that he came to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Karen has mentioned the verse in her prayers today. You know, it says then, he came into Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and then it says he stood up in the synagogue, he was handed the Isaiah scroll, and he quoted, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to fulfill God's mission, to heal the sick, to release the captive, to bring sight to the blind, to bring freedom, do you know? Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? Jesus, he came into Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and he also was going to fulfill all his ministry in the power of the Spirit. And if Jesus needed that, we also need that too, don't we? Spirit of the Sovereign Lord on us. So my title today is Life in the Spirit. And it's such a familiar subject, you know, I thought people will know all about it. But for me, I want to move it sometimes from knowing the theology about it, knowing about it in my head, authentically knowing it, in those days that I described every day, knowing something about life in the Spirit. And we're going to look at two passages, one's Romans 12:11 and one's Ephesians 5:18-21. And we will see that this life to the full is God's desire for us. It's his intention for us. And he has made it possible. And that is good news for us today. In John 14:16, Jesus tells his disciples about another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, but you know him. And he lives in you and will be with you. It was the promise that Jesus gave of the Holy Spirit. And we know, don't we, that when we became followers of Jesus, it was by the Holy Spirit that we realised our need for the Saviour. It was by the Holy Spirit that we knew the significance of the suffering of Jesus on the cross. And we were brought back into the family of God. We know that. But also, we need every day the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill us every day so that we can live out our lives in power and love, displaying what the kingdom of God is like. It's not enough that we know it. We need to know it every day. I've come to realise that. Right, so none of it could have happened without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is described in five beautiful ways in the Bible. And what I think is so wonderful, it covers all the bases. You know, it meets at every point of need. It says, first of all, that he comes like a dove. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives with peace. My goodness me, don't we need peace today? Don't we need it in our lives, in our communities, in our nation? Don't we need peace? And the Holy Spirit is the one that comes and fills our life with peace when we're troubled. He comes like the wind, John 3. That power-generating Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, it's like the wind. You don't know where he's coming from, you don't know where he's going, but you see the effect of him. And we see the effect of Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, Karen, I saw the effect of the Holy Spirit in you today when you were just encouraging us and leading us in that prayer time. Thank you. He comes like fire at Pentecost. I love that one. You know, the tongues of fire on those frightened disciples. And he brings us dynamism and empowering in our life when we know that we can't do it on our own. And then I love this one too. He brings oil. He's like oil. He comes like oil to us, bringing his comfort, bringing his solace, bringing his provision. And how many times, if we're honest, do we need the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Life is hard. Life is tough. And then he comes like water, the woman at the well, John 4, cleansing us every day, refreshing us every day. We need you, Holy Spirit, every day. And we remind ourselves that he is available for us to live this full life. And Paul prays in Colossians 1 that we would come to know the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, who raised Jesus from the dead. That's the power. That's the significance of it in my little life. So, our first reading then is in Romans 12 and 11. It says, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. In other words, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes on then to give a catalogue of what the Holy Spirit-filled life is going to look like. So never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervour. And zeal. It's a funny word, isn't it? It's mentioned 40 times. And this verse indicates to us what is available to us. What is available to keep in order to keep our spiritual fervour and our zeal. And it's about the Spirit boiling up, bubbling up, welling up inside us. It's about eagerness and spiritual flow and about enthusiasm and that fervour and that zeal. And it's like the expressions that we use, you know, boiling water and geysers and volcanoes and waves that crash and fermenting wine and spirit-filled Christians. In John 4, the woman at the well, Jesus alludes there to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, everyone who drinks of this water in the well is going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst again, but it will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life, springing up, bubbling up. Zeal and fervour in our lives. I want it. Because I know that my life is not always like that. For one reason or another. And Jesus also cried out in John 7, didn't he? And I love this. It says it was the last day of the feast. You know, they had done all their religious rituals. They had dotted the T's and crossed the I's. You know what I mean, yeah. They'd done their duty, they had kept the law, do you know? And how amazing, Jesus says, are you still thirsty? You've done all that religious bit, are you still thirsty? He says, come to me and drink. and from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit, John says, who those who believed in him would receive after Jesus had been glorified. Are you still thirsty this morning? You're doing all your religious bit. But there's something in there. You need the Holy Spirit. And you know, God's desire is for every one of us to experience it every day. Romans 12 says, keep your spiritual fervor. I've been looking at the Song of Songs recently. It's a funny old book, and it's not one that we ever look at much, certainly don't have sermons about, do we? But it's a book there, it's interesting. It's a book of ebbs and flows. And it talks about for the bride, there is not a consistency in a relationship with the bridegroom, us and Jesus. And she finds one minute this deep closeness with him, and the next minute there's this enormous separation. And I think that reflects our experience, doesn't it? Sometimes we have moments when we're so close to God, we're delighted in how our ministry's going and how our life is, and the next minute something might crop up in our lives and we feel far away. And I think one of the biggest hindrances to us as Christians is apathy. When we lose our fervour, when we lose our zeal. And it says in the Song of Songs in 2:15, catch for us the little foxes that ruin the vineyard. You know, apathy is a little fox. And it ruins the fruitfulness of our lives and the vineyard of our lives. Apathy is a killer to us. I think, I'm being really honest with you now, there are times when I get bored with the Christian life. It's so busy. You know, you're going from one meeting and then you've got to sort out that pastoral care, and then you're at an administrative meeting and then you're meeting like a hamster, going round and round in the wheel. Same old, same old. And we no longer become desperate for God. It might be harsh circumstances. It might be tough experiences. And we find ourselves in an empty place. And it's totally hard. Lukewarmness gives us the worst of both worlds. And we come to Jesus and we cry, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Refresh me today. Renew me today. Whatever I'm going through. Our other reading is in Ephesians 5:18-21. I'm going to read it in the Message because I think it's great. He says, don't drink too much wine. It deepens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. This is a lovely rendering, that, isn't it? I think Paul gives this wonderful analogy of the Holy Spirit and wine. Don't drink too much wine. Let the Holy Spirit fill you every day. And it's not about being out of control. It's about being under God's control when we're filled with the Spirit. We're handing out to God the control for our lives. And that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to hand him the control of our life sometimes. But I think sometimes we think we can do it better. But, you know, I stopped and thought. And I thought, when I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and take control of my life, I remember that it was at creation that it says the Holy Spirit was there brooding over the chaos. And when I'm asking him to come into my life, I'm saying to him, Holy Spirit, come and brood over the chaos that's in my life right now. And imagine it. What an absolute blessing. What an absolute privilege that the Holy Spirit will come and do that for us. The one that was at creation. It's astonishing, isn't it? Drink the Spirit of God, he says. Huge draughts of him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, when we become Christians, the Holy Spirit comes and resides in us. But when we give our life over and you say, Holy Spirit, fill me every day, he is presiding over our life. He's resident and president. and we are saying, God, I am giving up the executive chair of my life and I'm letting you come in. It's hard, but we need to do that. And it's not something that we ask once and it's done. I know very well I need it, as I say, I have said so many times, and I will keep on saying, every single day. In the Amplified Bible, it says, be ever filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit. You know, I like the analogy of the effect of drinking too much. You know, you remember that on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? What did they say about the disciples? Oh, they've been on the bottle, they said. You know, look at them, they're having a whale of a time. They've been drinking too much. What does an inebriated person look like? They're spontaneous, aren't they? They haven't got any inhibitions whatsoever. They're completely free. And they're under another control, and they're often singing and laughing and jolly. I can remember an occasion, you must not tell anybody this, right? But there is only once in my life that I have become inebriated. And probably because I wasn't used to it. We had a missionary couple in our church, and they had gone out to Lebanon at the time when Hezbollah were taking hostages, you know, Terry Waite and John McCarthy. There was an Irish guy, I can't remember his name. It was a very dangerous place to be. This couple, this missionary couple, were in the Bekaa Valley, exactly where that was taking place. So, you know, us like great warriors, we said, three of us, me and two other from the church who knew them well, said, right, we're going out for 2 weeks to encourage them and to, you know, support them. Well, it was my birthday when I went out there. So Don, you know, the missionary husband, he said to me, right, so Pam, we're going up to the Cedars on the mountain there, beautiful place. There's a little restaurant. We're going to go and have a most lovely meal together. Ah, great, I said, that's lovely. Well, this Lebanese wine, you've never seen anything like it. And I took a glass of it and another glass of it and eaten our food. By the time we were ready to go, I was singing and carousing. They did not do a thing with me. You know, I am ashamed. So much so that in order for it to get me back down to the Bekaa, they had to put me in the boot. Shut the boot and drive me back down. And they said, Pam, we could still hear you, you know, joyously in the bag. Oh, I'm ashamed. I have to make a disclaimer here, obviously, don't I? Because there is a dark side to alcohol, and that needs to be said. You know, with excessive alcohol, the analogy breaks down. We can't compare it with the Holy Spirit. And what alcohol does is it dehumanizes people. The Spirit of God never does that. He makes us more human. He makes us more like Jesus. He makes us more free. So I just need to say that. But, you know, the comparison between what an inebriated person looks like is good, isn't it? You can see how that ties in. And it's basically about control, isn't it? It's not so much us getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit and getting more of us. You know, taking more control of our lives. And we cooperate with him. And it's amazing. I brought this glove. That glove is no good to anybody, is it? It's useless. Can't do anything. It's just flapping about, very busy, flapping about doing this, that and the other. But as soon as I put my hand in that glove, it takes a shape. And it's got power. And it's got initiative. You see the difference that having the hand. That's like the Holy Spirit. He comes and makes our lives. I pinched that from Rob, by the way, my husband. He did that in an Alpha course, but I thought it was quite a good picture of it. The Holy Spirit, he brings us alive. He makes us, he causes us to work well. Another thing we notice, and I think this is important, is that it is a command. It is not an option. Paul didn't say to the Ephesians, well, you know, if you feel like it, or if that's something you want to get involved with. No, he didn't say that. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's for everybody. It wasn't just for the elite few in the Ephesian church. It was for everyone. Children, older people, everyone. And I believe this very strongly. I believe that the dynamism of your church is going to be as much as every single person in this church is filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just a few, it's everybody. And that will make a difference when every one of you knows that filling of the Holy Spirit every day, your church will change. Your church will transform. So what happens then when we get filled with it? Am I doing all right for time? What happens then when we get filled with the Spirit? Of course, we're going to find the greatest example in the Acts of the Apostles, aren't we? Because that was where it first started. And we remember, don't we, that when they were those 11 disillusioned, depressed, fearful disciples in the upper room, Jesus comes and he says to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. And that power came at Pentecost like the mighty rushing wind. And it changed them. It changed them from that frightened bunch of, you know, no good people to bold, authentic witnesses for Jesus. It says in the Bible that they turned the world upside down. 11 of them. 11 of them. Witness. The first thing we see is what happens when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We see our witness will give us a boldness and an authenticity. I love the story in Acts 7 of Stephen. He is there. He just cannot stop talking about Jesus. And so the authority said, we've heard enough of you. Stone him to death. And he's there. And on the outskirts of the crowd is a man called Saul of Tarsus. He's holding the coats for them. He's egging the murderers on. But you know what? I think something happened that day to Saul of Tarsus. The witness of Stephen must have had an impression, because it says of Stephen, he had a face like an angel. He was ragingly looking up into heaven. They're killing him with stones. And he sees Jesus standing. And I think that when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, it had been set for him with Stephen. What a witness. But it was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 4 about the believers that they, in the place where they were meeting, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. Acts 2 and 47, they found favour with the people. Their testimony was impacting their community. 3,000 people became Christians. You know all this, you know. I'm not telling you anything different that you already know. And so that was their witness. It was their work. You know, it will enhance our service, whether it be in the workplace or whether it be ministry in church. You know, it will enhance what we do. In Acts 6, you know, that there was that dispute about the widows, and they were grizzling. They weren't getting as much food as the Hebrew widows, you know. So the apostles wisely select 7 men, one of them Stephen. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the only thing. Qualification that they had to have. And you think to yourself, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit? To go and give a bit of food, to serve at tables for a few widows, you know, a bit of a Jerusalem food bank? What? Yes. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do that work. And so do all of us. Whatever our work is, you know, whether big or small, you need the Holy Spirit to help you. To make it effective and to make it good. The third thing is worship and joy. I've loved this worship today. It's great and joyful. Joyful worship. It will make us a thankful, praising people. Whatever's going on. In Acts 13:52, it says they were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? The church at that time was going on the most fiercest persecution you could have ever imagined. We will never see the like of it, I don't think. People in the world, though, are suffering incredible persecution today. They were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. They couldn't have ever done it without the Holy Spirit, could they? Romans 12:12 says they were joyful in hope. They knew that God was good all the time because the Holy Spirit revealed that to them. They knew the promise of heaven. Joy in tough times. Paul calls it patient in affliction. How can we be joyful when our world is falling apart? Because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes alongside us. He doesn't come in front of us, but he's right there by our side. I love that. I love that. Ephesians 5 and 19 in our reading talked about joyful songs, thankful lips, humble, worshipping hearts. He gives us strength to do the impossible, and he gives us strength to live like Jesus. The other way he makes a difference, he makes a difference in our relationships with others. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to make good relationships. He talks about it in Ephesians 5, doesn't he? He talks about wives and husbands. He talks about children and parents. He talks about workers and employers. The Holy Spirit will help us with our relationships. I don't know if anybody's going through some tough relationships right now. The Holy Spirit's promised that he will be with you in that. And the other thing is, it makes a difference in our relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. It gives us that intimacy with Jesus. Jesus talks in his great teaching in John 14, 15 and 16. He says about the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says, he will not speak of himself, but he will take of the things of Christ and reveal them to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit in order that we might have a revelation of what Jesus is like. We see his beauty, we see his compassion, and we see this incredible, significant suffering on the cross. And if I'm honest, sometimes I think we get familiar. Sometimes, you know, we think, yeah, Jesus died for me on the cross, tick that box. Yeah, he rose from the dead, yeah, lovely, tick that box. You know, I want to be amazed at what Jesus has done for me. I'm not always, I want to be amazed. He has brought me from death to life. He has brought me from darkness to light. He has brought me from being a nobody to being a child of God. He has broken the curtain in two. You know, I don't want to ever get familiar and used to it. We sing a song, you may sing it as well. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, that you laid down your life that I might be set free, Jesus. I'll sing for all that you've done for me. And the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real. And we say to him, Holy Spirit, make Jesus real. Because sometimes he's not. He brings fruits in our life, and he brings gifts in our lives, so we can operate with the power of the Holy Spirit. We haven't got time to go into all of that, but just to sum up, you know, the Holy Spirit floods our hearts with love and power and discipline. 2 Timothy 1 takes away our fear. He gives us spirit empowered words. He gives us spirit enabled deeds, and he gives us spirit driven intercession. We want it, don't we? It says in Acts 2 and 37, they devoted themselves to the word of God, Bible, fellowship, communion, prayer. They shared what they had and cared for the needy around them. And it says that they had a sense of awe at the powerful presence of God with them. A sense of awe. I'd have loved to have been part of their community, wouldn't you? How do we do it then? Just coming into land now, you've been ever so good. We have to have a desire for the Lord. We have to have a desire for him. You know, like it says in Psalm 74, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God. The dissatisfaction with our lives, because often we are lukewarm and defeated. I know I am. And we need to humbly say, either God, I'm going to live my life in step with your Holy Spirit, or I'm going to live it without you, my way. There's our choice. There's our choice. And I know that this is the life, Jesus promised, life to the full. And this is the mediocre, apathetic life. What's our choice? What's our choice today? You know, we can stifle him. We can suppress the Holy Spirit. We do. We can ignore him. And we can grieve and quench him. It says that, Paul says that in Ephesians and Thessalonians. But instead, what we try and do is we try and make a space. I know it's difficult. Make a space to say, God, I'm listening to you. I'm spending time with you. And every day we say, God, I want you to fill me today with your Holy Spirit. You know, back in the new year, I don't make any resolutions, but I sometimes say to God, God, will you show me, let me just find the page here. I ask him if there's something he wants to say to me for this year of 2017. So I went up to Ashton Court and I said, is there something for the 2017 that you want to say to me? It was so unbelievably simple, but it's partly why I've talked about this today, because it's been with me for 6 months. This is what I felt, the personal with me. He simply said to me, I sensed it, live your life in the Holy Spirit every day. And so my response was, each morning I will start the day asking the Holy Spirit to fill me so that my life becomes each day as God intended it to be. Now, I haven't always got it right, but I ask every day. I recommend it. So, today we can begin the transformation. Do we just close our eyes? I just want to say one thing. You know, there'd be an opportunity maybe to come out to the ministry team over here. There is a very significant, there's a significance in the laying on of hands. It says, you know, Paul, when he was after the Damascus Road, he went to, and it says in Acts 9:17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, and placing his hand on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He laid hands on him so that he could see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is our opportunity today. We can begin this transformation. We can ask somebody of your ministry team over there, lay hands on you and pray for the Holy Spirit afresh again. And start today, the first day of many days where you ask the Holy Spirit to come. So let's just close our eyes and we'll close now with some prayer. Where are we today? Maybe somebody here, you know, you're not aware that you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's somebody here who, because of the situation that you've been in, you have sunk into apathy. And you find that there's a sort of a mediocrity in your life that you're not satisfied with. It might be somebody that's accommodating some things in their heart, which are grieving and quenching the Spirit today. You know what they are. There are some that maybe want to hang on to control in their lives. Don't trust God enough to let him have full control. And it might be that our lives are so painful and so chaotic that we find it difficult. I pray that you might know today that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can come alongside you, the Spirit of Jesus, to make you whole. So, Father, come by your Holy Spirit now. We give this all to you. And I pray for this dear company of followers of Jesus, that you will minister to them, meet them where they need you, Jesus. Bring revelation, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together, and we're just going to worship the Lord. And something of what Pam has said to you has resonated, and you'd really love somebody to pray with you. Then I just want to invite you.